Hey everyone, it's Arielle again, back after a year and a half for some more hot 24 action. Day 7, so much has happened and so much is gonna happen, and I'm so excited to be back. So let's just jump right in, shall we? Alrighty, so we start out on a DC street where a young girl is innocently texting in the back seat of a car, and her dad's driving, and he tells her to stop because she's only allowed to use the phone in emergencies. And so she hangs up, and of course her dad gets a call and he answers, but too bad, they get rammed into by a black van and then again from the back, so their car is pretty much totaled. And a masked man who has a pretty familiar face abducts the man, whose name we learn is Mr. Latham, and throws him into the black van. So apparently Mr. Latham is being used because he can fix something for these guys. Meanwhile, Jack is sitting before the Senate being tried by Senator Blaine Meyer. He's being tried on charges of torture and all that sort of thing. Jack has decided to forego the use of counsel because he's that awesome, but Senator Meyer advises against that, but Jack's just like, let's get this over with and ask me a question, please. So Meyer asks Jack who Ibrahim Haddad is, and Jack answers that he was a member of a sleeper terrorist cell in 2002. Then he asks if he was retained and interrogated extremely, and Jack says yes. And Meyer asks, did you break procedure? And Jack says, probably. And Meyer says that it doesn't seem like Jack cares about what's going on. He doesn't care about these charges. He's being very flippant. And Jack keeps his cool and calmly explains that he does not regret anything he's done and that he should just get on with the trial. And they have this stare down, but then the tension is broken as an FBI agent, Renee Walker, interrupts and says she needs to take Jack on some official FBI business, Homeland Security threat. So she calls Janice, who is an FBI analyst, sort of the FBI's answer to Chloe, and they exchange words about the Homeland Firewall Project, something that Michael Latham has been working on, the guy that was abducted. Oh. Then the story goes back to the masked men, and it turns out that one of them is our Tony Almeida. Tony is back from the dead. So it turns out that they're messing with a flight, GSA 317, GSA 317, which is a flight from Reagan to JFK Airport, and they're trying to gain access to communications and navigation systems and things like that. So that's not good. Then we go back to the FBI and meet the head of the FBI, Larry Moss, who wants to help Renee question Jack because he doesn't trust him, because apparently Jack's one of those guys that goes off if you ask him something wrong, which I think is stupid, but anyways. Renee says she thinks she can handle it. So she tells Jack about the situation, and he doesn't really understand why he's been brought in, because he's not active and he's on trial and all that, until she tells him that one of the men responsible for these threats is someone he knows. So Jack sits in front of this computer screen and watches as a picture of Tony pops up, and he's obviously shocked and doesn't believe it, and he just is having so much trouble with this idea. And Renee tells Jack that, you know, the EMTs rushed Tony away so fast and they don't know what happened after that. She even had his grave exhumed and had the DNA tested, and it wasn't Tony's. So all the evidence points to the fact that Tony Almeida is alive. Back to Tony. He gets into the GSA system, but the CIP module stopped working, which is the component that Latham was trying to fix. And he tells Latham that if he doesn't fix it soon, he's not going to need him anymore, if you know what I mean. So, scary. Then we go to President Allison Taylor, who we met in 24 Redemption. She's watching CNN footage of Juma's genocide in Sangala, which again goes back to 24 Redemption. If you missed that, then you're kind of SOL with this whole storyline. There are over 200,000 deaths because of Juma in Sangala, and it's rising. That number is rising. So her convictions about interfering in Juma's plans have not changed. She wanted to go in and stop him earlier, but she was advised not to. But now she's really gung-ho about the whole thing. So she's called a meeting with the Joint Chiefs, and she's going to make a plan and go in there and stop this guy. And then, let's see, Latham manages to fix the CIP, and so that's not good for the for the plane that they're targeting. Jack and Renee are still discussing Tony, arguing about the fact that he is bad. Jack doesn't believe that Tony's turned. Renee tells him, you know, he lost everything, and, you know, he served the government, and what does it do? You know, he had to serve time in jail. He lost Michelle, so now he's rebelling against the government that he served. He risked his life to serve for so long. But Jack is like, no, that can't be it. That's not what happened. There's something else going on. Meanwhile, back with the president, they have at the Joint Chief meeting. Not everyone is supportive of her plan to go stop Juma. The Secretary of State is the number one guy who's voicing his concerns. He's supposed to be working on a report, but he doesn't want to because he doesn't support this. But she gets all up in his face and is like, I will, you know, I'll replace you if I need to. She's pretty cool. I like her a lot. She gets a call from the FBI about all the stuff that's going on, about the targeting of the air traffic control, and all of that crazy stuff that's going on. And she decides to quietly ground all the planes so that she won't cause a panic, not make a big deal out of it, and, you know, get this thing under control and make sure that all these planes are out of harm's way. Then she goes off to meet with former Prime Minister of Sangala, Matobo, talk to him about her plans and all of that kind of thing. The first gentleman, Henry Taylor, we all remember him from Redemption, he has apparently, this is weird, he hired a private investigator to look into the alleged suicide of his son, Roger, who we also met in Redemption. Apparently he killed himself for some reason. So that's strange. He finds out that Roger's girlfriend received $400,000 3 days after Roger's death, and so that's a bit sketchy. So he wants to go follow up on that and see, you know, what the heck's going on, because that seems a little suspicious. Meanwhile, back at the FBI, Jack has decided to take on the case because he's finally convinced that Tony is alive, but not that Tony's bad. So, but he's, you know, he's going to work on it. He knows how Tony thinks, and he knows because they have the same training, they work together, so he's a good person to have on the case. He immediately, you know, he sits down and immediately sees a link and tells Sean, who's another analyst, to look up this document, Hatteras, from August of 1999. And he finds a man named Gabriel Schechter, who is a guy who sells government technology under the radar. And they used to use him, he and Tony used to use him under the radar. The address they find puts him at 1208 Naylor Road, Suite 630, if anyone cares. Larry Moss, the head of FBI, has reservations about letting Jack go with Renee because, you know, he doesn't really trust Jack that much, which bugs me. But she convinces him. She says she can handle him. She, you know, she's got it all under control, so he lets them go together. So on their way to the hotel, Jack explains that he and Tony, they arrested Schechter and turned him, and they used his resources for years without CT's knowledge. And that was kind of nice, him talking about he and Tony together. Oh, sad. So they get to this room, and Walker is adamant about Jack not laying hands on Schechter. Everyone so far in this hour has been really annoying about Jack and torture, they're all like, oh, we know what you do, and, you know, it's really annoying, and just, hate it. Anyways, so they knock on the door, he answers. He's obviously nervous about Jack being there because he knows what he's capable of. But since there are witnesses, he has a bodyguard, and Jack's got an FBI agent with him. He figures, oh, I'll be safe. So he lets him come in, and then he starts taunting Jack, like, oh, how's the Senate thing going? Oh, CTU's disbanded. Let me guess, it's all your fault. And Jack's just like, you know what? Where's Tony? And Schechter says he doesn't know. He's dead, duh. Come on. Everyone knows that. And then they keep asking. He doesn't give anything, and one of his bodyguards pulls a gun, and then there's a big scuffle, but Renee and Jack gain the upper hand, and Schechter is a huge sissy and immediately surrenders, like nothing even happened that would have have endangered him, and he was just like, okay. But he still won't tell them about Tony, and so, you know, they're getting frustrated, and Jack asks Renee what he should do, and she says, do whatever it takes. So he grabs his pen off the table and grabs Schechter's head, which makes him squeal. He totally just drops. He's just such a sissy. I don't even know how he survived as long as he has. But he starts to talk. He says, the last time I saw Tony, and then bam, bam, bam! Three shots are fired from a sniper on the roof, and obviously he dies. So that sucks. Then there's a phone on the table, and it rings, and Jack answers it, and guess who it is? Oh, it's Tony. And he says, need to stay away from this whole thing, Jack. Just stay away. Just leave me alone. Just go away. So then Tony is in the system. He's in the air traffic control system. He got in. They're noticing they're having a little bit of trouble. Something's going on. Not too out of the ordinary, but something just happened. They can't really detect it, but something happened, so they're a little alarmed. And that's the end. Oh my goodness. Alrighty, so what an awesome start. So excited. I know I say that like every other time, but it's true. So, my thoughts. I don't know if I like Janine Garofalo's character, Janice, yet. I think it's interesting they have the same initials. Janice Gold, Janine Garofalo. Anyways, I don't know if I like her. I don't know if I trust her. She seems a little too fidgety and a little too, like, you know, I don't know. Maybe everyone else seems to like her, but I don't. I don't know. We'll see. She has some work to do with me. Anyways, also, I guess the biggest thing to address this hour is Tony. And it's really interesting that they decided to bring him back, but I also think that it's kind of cool because Tony is what Jack could have become a million times. I mean, they both have really similar situations. You know, they both lost their wives, you know, pretty much to CTU, I mean, and, you know, they've had to pay for, I mean, Jack went to China, and Tony did time, so, I mean, they're really, really similar in what they've had to go through, so, Tony is, like, a fallen Jack, and so I think that's kind of interesting, and it'll also be interesting to see how he got involved with this whole thing, because somehow I just don't think it could have happened without him being involved in something before his death, because, I mean, the explanation of him being mad about losing Michelle, you know, and spending time in jail, that makes sense, you know, that would be enough to make you want to be a terrorist, you know, rebel against the government, blah, 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 all that sort of thing, that, you know, that makes sense, but it just doesn't seem like he could have decided in the 5 minutes, you know, that it would take to cover up his death, you know, like, when they did Jack's death, it was literally like 5 minutes and it's done. You know, you disappeared. It was just all really orchestrated. And there's something else going on here that we don't know. I just don't think that he could have decided that he was mad enough to turn bad in those, you know, in that short amount of time. So I don't know. I wonder what's going on. Hopefully they'll dig into that a little bit because, that's interesting. Anyways, on a totally different and not really relevant note at all, I just think that Cherry Jones, I really like her as President Taylor, and I think she's going to do some awesome things. I really hope that she turns out to be a really good president. I mean, last year we had jerkwad Powers Booth. Oh, what is it? His horrible, I hated him. So it's time for us to have another good president. And I definitely think Allison Taylor has the potential. And she also, like, one thing I noticed about her is she has this great stare. Like, her eyes are so piercing. And she can, like, bore into your mind and, like, make you spill anything. Like, you can't hide anything from her. Her stare is just so intense, and it just makes you, like, even when she was looking at me in the TV screen, I was like, I want to confess everything I've done to you because your eyes are crazy. So hopefully she does some good things, and I'm excited for her. So yay, Allison Taylor. Yay, now it's time for my little segment-y type things. Who I'd most like to punch in the face. Definitely this episode was, this award would go to Senator Blaine Meyer. As much as I love Kurtwood Smith, I just found his character really annoying and really condescending and really smug. And, I wanted to punch him in the face. So, I mean, seriously, he was just so, like, abrasive, and even Jack, you could tell, wanted to punch him in the face. So, I mean, kudos to you for that. My did you see that moment of the hour goes to Schechter's death. Because, I mean, I know that seems like kind of an obvious one, but I was definitely so into the story that I did not expect that. I was just like, okay, he's going to tell us, you know, Jack got him to talk because he's a wimp, and he's going to say it, and then all of a sudden, oh no, like, I should have seen it coming, but I didn't so far. They did a great job of surprising me.
Yeah, boy!
Best line. Definitely this episode's best line goes to Jack when he's being questioned by the Senate. He just keeps his cool the whole time, and, you know, at the end, he just, you know, he's asked if he seems like he doesn't even care about what's going on, and he just says, "Do not sit there with that smug look on your face and expect me to regret anything I've done, because frankly, I don't." And it was just like, yeah, boy, you tell him. Gosh, I love that. Everyone around me, I watched it with a group of people, and was like, yeah! So, congratulations, Jack Bauer. And worst line I would have to say would go to anything that Senator Meyer said, because he was a douche face, and of course he won who I'd most like to punch in the face. So, it totally works. So, congratulations to them, too. I was really surprised about the low number of deaths in this first episode. There's only one, well, I guess if you count the 200,000 casualties from Juma's genocide in Sangala, I mean, that's a lot. But that doesn't really count because this is today. So for the day, there was only one, and it was Schechter, surprisingly. But yeah, so we've only got one death, and it wasn't even Jack, so interesting. Last but not least, we have our curse count, and again, I was surprised that there was only one, and it wasn't Jack. We had the A word from Schechter, and that was the only one. So I was a little bit disappointed in Jack for not, you know, flinging around his favorites. But we've got 23 more hours for that to happen. So there we go. Our tally is one. One curse. That wraps up hour one of the season. I'm excited about this season, and hopefully you are too. So this season for Bauer Power Hour, we've got a lot of new things going on. Well, not a lot, but a few new things. I've got a Facebook page now. You can Facebook me. Ooh, Bauer Power Hour, my Facebook page. I also have my, where I post my show notes, pretty much the transcript of what I went over today. That's at Bauer Power Hour 24. blogspot.com. You can email me, tell me what you thought of the show or any suggestions you might have at bowerpowerhour@podomatic.com. And you can also go see my show and some comments at bowerpowerhour.podomatic.com. Those are all the different ways you can get a hold of me. You can leave me comments, you can send me things, all sorts of different options you've got there. So I want you all to contact me and tell me what you thought, and hopefully, you know, we can get to know each other a little bit this season. It'll be fun. And again, I am really, really excited about it. So yeah, I've got another episode coming. The hour two of last night's 2-hour special is coming up in a little while. So I guess I'll see you when I see you.